Good morning, everyone. Good night of Shabbos. Welcome back. Today, we are going to begin our Hakadama. Even though we've already had four shiurim, we will go out of order, go backwards, as it were, and consider the question why we learn Machshava, what we mean by Machshava, and the like. So, first we'll pose a question, which is the study of Machshava important? Is it necessary? After all, if you turn to your source books on page 51, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Ches Amud Aleph says, "Miyom Shacharev Beis HaMikdash, Ein Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Be'olamo Ela Arba Amo Shel Halacha Bilvad." The implication is that the Iker of Talmud Torah is Limud Halacha. And why is it that one would spend time learning Agadah or Machshava or the like? We'll get there. Along similar lines, if you look at the Gemara in Chagiga, Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, which is on page 51 on the bottom left, Amr lo Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Akiva Malocha Eitzel Hagada Klach Eitzel Klach Midibro Secha Eitzel Negaim Va'olos. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says to Akiva, "What are you darshaning, saying Hagada? Focus on Iker Talmud Torah Negaim and Olos." It's interesting. Derech Agav, the Rambam in Perashat Mishnah, his Hakadama to Taros, which is quoted in footnote 106, points out that you see from here the importance of studying Taros, because when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was telling Rabbi Akiva, you know, this is what you shouldn't be spending your time, wasting your time doing Agada, focus on what's the Iker. So what does he quote? He quotes Nagai and Va'olos. So that's a pitch for studying Taros, according to the Rambam. But seemingly, the statements such as these imply that one should not focus on Agadita. On the other hand, obviously, things are not so simple. The fact that the Talmud includes so much Agadita in it, and beyond that there are Midrashim, and so on and so forth, clearly indicates that the study of these materials is very important. And even if we go to those sources that we just stated, the sources that seemingly imply that perhaps Agada isn't so important, that's not the way they're typically understood. For example, the first statement, the Gemara in Brachos, that says, "Ein lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu ela arba amo shel halacha bilvad." So if you look at Rabbeinu Yonah on that Gemara, Rabbeinu Yonah understands that this isn't referring to halacha in a narrow sense, but Talmud Torah in a broad sense. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, the Gemara means to say that since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Iker manner of creating Hashras HaShchina and connecting through Ribbono Shel Olam is through Talmud Torah. Halacha is lav dafka. Why do we use the term halacha to refer to Talmud Torah generally? If you want, you could see an approach for that in the Maharal, in Tiferes Yisrael Perek Ayin, which is quoted in footnote 104. In fact, the Rambam writes, also in footnote 104, that this statement in Brachos of "Ein lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu ela arba amo shel halacha bilvad" teaches us that tachlis kol ma'ase ba'olam, it's Parshas Bereishis this week, the creation of the world. So what's the purpose of everything that's created? Is for what? Who? It's for a ish shalem kolel hachachma v'amaisa, k'moshe b'yarnu. The purpose of all creation is to support the person who is complete with shalem b'chachma v'amaisa. The Rambam there explains that's why there's such diversity within the creation, and that's why there's so many different types of people. And all of it's meant to support this person who's shalem b'chachma v'amaisa. And it's clear over there, if you read it, that when he talks about chachma, he doesn't necessarily mean halacha in a narrow sense, even Talmud Torah in a narrow sense, but much more broadly defined chachma. So, without getting into the details, what clearly emerges is that this statement in Brachos that says Ela arba amos shalachem bilvad does not mean to exclude things like Divrei Agada or Chachma or Medrash or the like. Likewise, the statement that we quoted before from Chagiga Yudalad Amid Aleph, even though Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah chastises Rabbi Akiva, if you read the Hemshech of the Gemara, like on page 52, it talks about the importance of Agada, Shemoshchen Libo Shaladam, Kemayim Bagada, etc. So, the question that we're going to do is, and certainly Divrei Agada, Machshav, and the like doesn't need my Haskama, but we're going to figure out, or we're going to try to figure out why it's important and what is meant to be accomplished with this chelak of Talmud Torah. So let's begin. Yes.
Speaking of that statement of Marcia, that the Chazal would frequently, you know, when they would see like a widespread issue, they would say things in very exaggerated form. You know, they would heavily exaggerate, like, you know, for instance, you know, a lot of statements about Lashon Hara, about a lot of different sins that they would say, these horrible things that happened to you, mm-hmm. how terrible it is, and because they knew that, you know, that they just needed to get the person's attention. So all of these things that say that the primacy of learning halacha, mm-hmm. I mean, to me that's just because I'm pretty sure that they said a focus on halacha in your Shabbat Shuvah drashas, because they made some rule that no learning got on Shabbos.
Right,
because people aren't then going to learn halacha. So you mean, I think the Gemara understands.
Ksuvim, right?
No ksuvim on Shabbos. So it seems that they knew. Okay, people are going to learn agada.
They're moshchen esalev. You need to focus. Tell people to learn halacha because they
learn halacha. Before they go nuts, you learn.
Okay, I hear. Maybe. So, Sammy, did you have a question?
No, I was trying to figure out maybe according to the Rambam, agada is.
Okay, yeah. In other words, you're pointing out that the formal distinction is not so obvious. Granted. So let's look at a couple of Makoros. The second source on page 51, a Sifrei from Parshas Ekev, says, Shelo tomar lamadati halachos daily Talmud lomar im shamor tishmirun es kol mitzvah zos kol mitzvah lamod medrash halachos v'agados. So, when we say kol ha-mitzvah, it's coming to include medrash and agados beyond halacha. In Pirkei Avos, in Avos Rabbi Nasan, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas Omer, kol mi sheyesh biyado medrash vein biyado halachos, lo tam tam shel chachma. Agada is considered the tam shel chachma. Kol mi sheyesh biyado halachos, vein biyado Medrash lo ta'am tam shel yiras chet. So if someone has medrash but doesn't have halacha, they don't have the tam of chachma, and if they have halacha but they don't have medrash, they don't have the tam of yiras chet. So here we have the implication that the ikar purpose of medrash is to instill yiras chet. Hu haya omer, kol sheyesh biyado medrash vein biyado halachos ze gibor ve'eno mizuyan. Kol mi sheyesh biyado halachos vein biyado medrash chalash v'zayin biyado. Yesh biyado ze v'ze gibor mizuyan. So here we have the metaphor to being armed and gvura. The Sifrei, Parshas Ekev, says a different one. Ritzoncha shetakir es misha amar v'haya ha'olam lemod hagada shemitoch kach atamakir es HaKadosh Baruch Hu umedabek bedrachav. So if the previous point source told us that the importance of learning Agada is to instill yiras chet, this source tells us it's to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahakir es habore. If you look at the Medrash Mishle on page 52, Ba mi sheyesh biyado chamisha chumshei Torah, omer l'Akadosh Baruch Hu, lama lo lamadeta agadeta, velo shanisa, shebesha she'achacham yoshe v'doresh, ani mochel u'machaper avonosein shel Yisrael. Ba mi sheyesh bo agada, HaKadosh Baruch Hu omer lo, b'ni tamud lama lo lamadeta, shenemar, kol nechalim holchim al hayam, v'hayam einenu malei, v'chulei. So many sources indicate that a person, a Talmud Chacham, has to be well-rounded. And they specifically allude to the possibility that a person might overly emphasize halacha, not agada, and that Talmud Chacham is incomplete. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tain on them, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tain on someone who's focused too much on agada and hasn't focused sufficiently on halacha. I think, generally speaking, if you look at the Makoros, we can distill two major themes, though there are certainly many subdivisions, which in many ways are Shnayim Shem Achas. Number one, Agada, Machshava, and the like, is important in the sense that it's motivational. Like we saw, it instills Yiras Chet, it inspires a person, like a Musar Shmuz. And number two is it's part of understanding the MS, whether we formulate that as the mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem, understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the like. Lamaisa, this, like all of Talmud Torah, is a means by which a person comes to the truth. And understanding the truth, coming to the truth, is something that is very valuable. If you look at the Rishonim, for example, many Rishonim quote many, many psukim as to the mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem. Sometimes the pasuk of Yadata Hayom Vashevosa Elevavecha is quoted, meaning to say that it's not just enough. There's Yediyah and there's Hashevosa Elevavecha. The way Rabbeinu Bachya understands that pasuk is that Hasagas Halev is Iyun HaSeichel. He understands it's referring to the study of philosophy, and he quotes Pshukim to that effect, or the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, Ve'ata Shlomo B'ni Da Es Elohei Avicha, the importance of knowing God, Da Es Elohei Avicha, the Pasuk in Tehillim, De'u Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, the Pasuk of Azgeveu Ki Yadashimi, the Pasuk in Tehillim that says that God will exalt a person if he is Yodei Hashmi, who understands, who knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Ki Bezos Yishalel, HaMishalal Haskel V'Yadoa Osi, again, the mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem, the Ibn Ezra in Hosea, Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel, derives from the Pasuk over there. He writes, Shenir defa ladas es Hashem sheba'avur ze nivra ha'odam. According to Ibn Ezra, the ikar purpose of Yetziras Adam, Parshas Bereishis, you want to know why was man created? To understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we look at the various Rishonim, when they discuss this mitzvah, it's through the study of Machshava. Now, to be sure, there are different paths, different mahalchim. Some Rishonim understand that these psukim, these 6-7 psukim we just quoted, as well as many others, instruct a person to study philosophy. So, for example, if you look at the Rambam or Rabbeinu Bachya and Shar HaYichud and Chovos HaLevavos and the like, other Rishonim that support the study of philosophy. So they bring all these psukim to tell us that there's a mitzvah of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the best of our ability. Of course, we can't ever fully understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't even become close. He is infinite, and we, with our finite and feeble mind, are limited. But nevertheless, the fact that we can't complete it does not exempt us from not beginning. So there's a mitzvah of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for some Rishonim, that means through the study of philosophy. For other Rishonim, were mekayim this mitzvah through the study of mysticism, through the study of Kabbalah. Many, there's a Tshuvas Rama, Sheil Tshuvas Rama Simen Zion, which is a letter written to the Marshal. The Marshal attacked the Rama for referring to Aristotle and the study of philosophy in a previous letter. He also attacks him because he thinks he has lousy diktuk. Anyhow, the Rama responds in a fascinating letter that studying philosophy is valuable, and while it's usher to study kfira, he studies it from the Mar Nevuchim, and how could you yell at me because I'm following the path of the Rambam and Mil Anu Gadol Min HaRambam? And in fact, the Raman Shulchan Aruch Yaradeya quotes the Rambam's position alongside the Rivash with respect to the study of Shar Chachmos, that physics and metaphysics mean, or what Chazal meant when they said Ma'ase Bereishis and Ma'ase Merkava, as opposed to mysticism. But if you look at that tshuva, the Rama concludes that even though there are different paths to being mekayim this mitzvah of Yedias Hashem, there's the path of mysticism and there's the path of philosophy, the Rama says we paskin elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Later on in the year when we study the topic of elu ve'elu, we'll see a letter from Rav Kook where he takes a different approach. Others, of course, say no. It's exclusively through the study of mysticism, or it's exclusively through the study of philosophy. But one way or the other, everybody agrees that there is a mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem, of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way that one accomplishes that is what we call the study of Machshava. Whether one focuses more on the philosophical orientation or the mystical orientation, or you take the approach of the Rama, that Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. But there is much more to Talmud Torah than simply halacha and the like. Yes?
All these makoros are like the word Agadah or Haggadah. Can we necessarily create like Haggadah with like, or in, I don't know, like Mechon Eliyahu or.
So the sources in Chazal refer to Agadah. I would actually think that Mechtav Eliyahu sees himself as primarily someone explaining Agadah. If you read what he sees as the purpose of what he does, that's what he does. He sees himself as a mefaresh. So he certainly felt that's what he's doing, and I don't think why would, I think there's no reason to doubt that. As I said, different thinkers have a different perspective on what's the ikar. When I refer to the Rishonim, who quote all those psukim, yadata yom ha-shevos al-vavecha, das elokei avicha, etc., so they're referring to philosophy, or they're referring to Kabbalah, or the like. They're not necessarily limiting it to the study of Agadah, Tanshas, and Medrash. So it's very broad, and many areas are included in different Rishonim and Achronim focus on different elements. But everybody agrees that there's something in this genre, and perhaps many things, that has to be focused on and has to be learned, and that, in fact, beyond Talmud Torah, which of course it is, there's also a kiyum of the mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem, and this is the way through which we're mekayim that.
I've heard people say that through learning of just Talmud Torah, that's also getting to know God. So do you have any children say that?
There are those that say that. I don't know if we've shown him that say that. It could be that there are. But I think that the mainstream position, at least among Rishonim, it's through what we're going to call Machshava, which is, of course, a made-up term. That's not a term they would have used either. But we use it because it's kolel, the different approaches within Machshava. So, again, what are we saying? We're saying that there's these two purposes. Number one is the motivational component. Number two, the coming to the MS, Yediyas Hashem, the Rambam, famous Rambam in Perek Beis of Yisodei HaTorah, Heyachi Aderech L'Avaso and Yiraso. A person acquires Avas Hashem and Yerushimayim through the Rambam. Their focus is on studying the Bria and the like. But that too indicates that, again, one can't just focus on Talmud Torah in the narrow sense if one is going to reach levels of Avas Hashem and Yerushimayim. If you look at source, the left column, like page 51, there's a line here from the Akdama of the Nefesh HaChayim. And it points to the idea that we're suggesting, which is that these two components, again, the motivational component and the component of Yediyas Hashem, are not really two separate domains. The Akdamot of the Nefesh HaChaim was written by Reb Yitzchak Velazhiner, the son of the Nefesh HaChaim, and he writes that his father urged him to very quickly publish the Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim was not published during the lifetime of Reb Chaim Velazhiner. His son urged his son to publish it quickly. And why was it so important? Shiskablu divarai bekuntras halalo lahashris yuras Hashem v'tora v'avoda zaka belev yishrei lev hamevakshim darkei Hashem elu hadvarim asher diberli. So what did Reb Chaim Velazhiner say? Why is it so important to publish the Nefesh HaChaim? Because it's going to instill Yiras Shamayim. Now, the Nefesh HaChaim is fundamentally, it's not a Musar Sefer in a classical sense. You might call it a Machshava Sefer, you might call it a Kabbalah Sefer. It's not what we think about when we think of Musar. But yet, Reb Chaim Velazhiner thought that the Ikar Tafkid of the book was meant as a Musar Sefer. So it's not that there are these two dimensions, two different realms. In fact, if you look at the Hakdama over there, it's a very sad Hakdama, because he thinks that some of his children died because he was delayed in publishing this, and that's why he's doing it. But the ikar of that Hakdama is to tell me that these two ideas, these two realms, these two components of Agada, of Machshava, of Yir Shamayim and Yediyas Hashem are not two separate realms, but they're Hainu Hach, they're one and the same. We see this, to tell you the truth, in many of the Musar Sfarim. If you look, for example, the Hakdama to the Mesil Sisharim, the most classical of Musar works, begins with a discussion about the purpose of the creation of the world. Why was the world created? So the Ramchal explains that the world was created to be mated, and where is the ideal place of Hatava? It's in Olam Haba. And how do we get to that? It's through Olam Hazah, etc., etc. But the point is that, again, before beginning a work on Musar, he has to talk about these fundamental questions of Machshava, namely the purpose of the creation of the world, etc. And another way in which you see this, the Maharal frequently discusses, and we're going to hopefully see a little bit later on today, a passage where he elaborates. But the purpose of Agada is to be Megala the Pnimiyas HaInyan, meaning to say that the deeper truth, the truer truth behind ideas, whether it's mitzvos or whether it's observations concerning nature and the like, is to get to the deeper inner truth. And if so, it's so important. We said before that the purpose is Yediyas Hashem, understanding the MS. We all certainly know the words of the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Tshuva, that Avas Hashem is defined as someone who is searching the truth because it's the truth. It's Oses HaEmes Mipnei Shu Emes. And that is very much the goal of this chelek of Talmud Torah. And thus, statements which are at first glance very surprising, I think, could be understood. The Gemara, for example, and this is quoted by the Rambam as well as others, where Abaye and Rav, where the Gemara says that Dvarim Ketanim are Havayos Dabai V'Rava, and Dvarim Gedolim are Maisim Bereishis and Maisim Merkava. So as we alluded to before, Maisim Bereishis and Maisim Merkava, according to those like the Rambam, refers to physics and metaphysics. According to probably the mainstream position, it refers to mysticism. But whatever it is, there is this element that is considered Dvarim Gedolim when compared to Shas, when we compare it to Havayos de Abaye V'Rava. And finally, most importantly, it's included in Talmud Torah. So, if that's true, this is just a brief gleaning of a number of statements that play up the value of what we are broadly defining as Machshava. We have to take a step back and consider different makoros and how we approach them and what they're meant to teach us. So the first thing I want to consider with you is a number of statements that indicate perhaps that Divrei Agada, as they appear in the Midrashim as well as in the Talmud, perhaps should not be taken so seriously. And what is the meaning of these types of statements? So we'll start with a very famous Yerushalmi, which is on page 52 in your source books, on the right column, Meseches Peah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer Aleim ve'aleim kol kechol dvarim hadvarim mikra mishnah talmud v'agada afilu mash talmud vasik asid lahoros lefnei rabo kfar nema l'moshe misinai, the famous statement. We'll discuss this a little bit later on when we talk about the evolution of the Torah and the Torah Shebaal Peh. And what's relevant for us, continuing a little later, Reb Zira b'shem Shmuel ein lemeidim min halachos v'lo min agados v'lo min atosafos elam min atalmud. So what does this statement mean? So Reb Zira says we cannot learn from, we'll have to define what lemeidim means, we cannot learn from halachos. The Mefarshe Yerushalmi interpret that in one of two ways. Either it's referring to halachal Moshe Misinai, and it means that we can't extrapolate rules from halachal Moshe Misinai and apply them elsewhere because we see halachal Moshe Misinai as a chiddush. Alternatively, that's the way the Gran Pnei Moshe read it. The Rashi Leon understands that it's referring to statements in the Mishnah, like the Rashbam and Bava Basra says, when the Mishnah says halacha kaploni, we don't necessarily follow that Mishnah. Okay, so we don't learn from halachos. The lo min ha-tosafos is referring to tosefta. Generally, that means to say that if the tosefta contradicts the Bavli, we don't follow the tosefta. So that's also pretty straightforward. But for our purposes, we need to figure out what does it mean when it says ein lemeidin min ha-hagados. What is meant by that statement? So, if you look, this is a rather well-trodden issue, and there are a couple of approaches to what this statement means. So according to the Pri Chadash and Rabbi Kiva Eger, they're quoted in footnote 107, this means that if there's no stira in Shas, just like when we say Ein L'meidin min HaTosefta, if we would in fact follow a Tosefta, we would in fact turn to Tosefta to determine Halacha L'maisa, in the event that it doesn't contradict Shas, but when it contradicts Shas or when it contradicts Talmud Bavli, then we don't follow Tosafta. And that's what it means here. We are, in fact, able to learn halacha l'maisa from statements concerning agadic statements, except when they're contradicted by an explicit statement. Okay, that's one approach. Others, like the Tosfos Yantif or the Noda Bihuda, mean that no, you don't learn halacha l'maisa at all from Divrei Agada. Now, even that doesn't necessarily imply in some way a diminution of the importance of Agada. To quote Rabbi Akiva Eger, he writes, Aval midrashim v'hagados ikar kavanasam al musar al hamusar val haramazim val hamishalim shebahem v'akol ikar hadas Aval ein ikar kavanasam al piske halachos, lachain ein lemeidin mehem lipsak halacha klal, like the Tosfos Yantif says. Meaning to say that not that Agada isn't so important or isn't in any way true or shouldn't be taken seriously, but rather what this means is that since the purpose of Agada is to teach Musar and Mashalim and the like, even though it's the ikar hadas, nevertheless, you can't learn halacha l'maisa. So that's the other way to understand it. However, if you look at some of the other makoros, they see this Yerushalmi at least seemingly as indicating something else. For example, there are a number of statements in the Gaonim which imply that there's a limited value to agadic statements, as is implied by this statement in the Yerushalmi. So, for example, Rav Haigon writes, this is in page 52, left column, Havi Yodim Divrei Agada Lav Kishmuahem Ela Kol Echad Doresh Masha Allah Alibo Kigon Efshar V'yesh Lomar. So the statements of the Agada are not like received traditions, but rather they are possibilities, each statement being made up. Lo davar chatuch, lefikach ein somchen aleihen. Therefore, we don't rely upon them. Now, we'll have to define what ein somchen aleihen means, but for Rav Haigon, the statement in Yerushalmi indicates that perhaps in some way they are less authoritative than other statements, halachic statements, that appear within Shas. Along similar lines, Rav Shri Ragon writes on the top of page 53, Hani mili denafki mipsuki umikri medrash v'agada. These things that are derived from sukkim and are called medrash and agada, umdina ninhu. They are only mumdina. Lefikach ein somchin al hagada. V'amru ein lemeidin min hagados. V'nachon mehem ma'ashem eschazik min ha-seichel u min ha-mikra. Nekabel mehen v'ein sofer tichla la-gados. So, to the extent that they make sense and can be scripturally derived, then we accept them, but otherwise, perhaps they are not so authoritative. The Sefer Eshkol, quoting Rav Shri Ragon, this statement of Rav Shri Ragon is quoted by a number of sources, and this is in both versions of the Eshkol, the Albach edition, as well as the Orbach edition, though with slight differences. Kasav Rav Shri Ragon, the Megillah Star Mal Inyan Agados, Hani Mili Dinafki Mipsuki, Umikri Medesh Agada, Umdina Ninu, Vadvar Malalu Yotzim, Hayotzim, Hanidrashim, and Apsukim, Asher Nikrai Medesh Agada, in Umdin Hashara, Ein Mochlatin, Veinam Kalacha Psuka. Vieshman Shukach, Shuhu, Me Omes Bipshat, Kegon Divri Yehuda, Binyan Vzosli Yehuda. Right, we just read this. There's a medrash that says, Shishimon Mochlal, Im Yehuda, Shay Matsinu Chakov Yeshua. Fine, he gives examples. Here we have expressions of the distinction between Pshat and Drash. Now, what one of the interesting things my brother-in-law pointed out to me is that this statement of Rav Shri Ragon, which certainly indicates a lack of authority to Agadic statements, is quoted by Svarim like the Menorah Hamaor by Rav Yitzchak Abuhav, and he quotes this statement, but he also says things like, Kol ma she'amru zal b'midrashos v'agados chayavim anu lahamin bo kimo b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom v'nimtza bo davar she'iru lanu derech guzma o chutz min ha-teva yesh lanu litlos ha-chisaron v'asagas da'atel avalo b'amaram. Interestingly enough, the Menorah Hamaor, an early work, felt that statements like Rav Shri Ragon, which says that Divrei Agada are umdina ninhu, also feels that that is compatible with statements like everything that Chazal said are from Moshe Rabbeinu, and if things seem to be exaggerated, we should presume that it's our understanding that's mistaken, not their understanding that's mistaken. Kol ma shekasav bishmam yesh l'chol adam lahamin shu divrei amiti val yalig alav befiv velo belibo shim yalig ya'anash. So right now we're not going to figure out how exactly the Menorah Hamaor resolved those two seemingly contradictory notions. But what's important for us to note is that statements like made by the Gonim, such as we've seen, were not necessarily understood as being contradictory to the notion that everything that's in Chazal is from Sinai and has to be thoroughly accepted. So the question is, what then do the Gaonim mean?
Are there Yishonim who explicitly take this other side of the Menorah Hamaor?
Yes, I think so. We'll get there. We'll get there. To some degree, certainly. But we'll see some statements, and you can see what you think.
What does it mean to pass in by a God?
So that's going to be the question. In other words, how do you understand that statement to the Yerushalmi? So we could understand it in a narrow sense, which means to say that when there's an agadic statement which implies certain normative halachic practices, are you able to learn the halacha lemaisa from the agada? So one way to understand Yerushalmi is it's saying, no, you don't learn halacha lemaisa from the agada, or you don't learn halacha lemaisa from the agada in the event that it contradicts another explicit ruling. That's one approach. That's the approach that is presumed in the Achronim that I mentioned.
That would be like a story that some like Amora did something.
Something like that, exactly. Whereas the other approach is to say, no, this is reflective of the fact that Divrei Agada are perhaps less authoritative than Divrei Halacha. And that's the question. And that's the implication of the Gaonim.
What's the line between Divrei Agada and Divrei Halacha? I think something like Tanur Shalach.
That's true. So there you have another, you're absolutely correct, that there are times, sometimes it's obvious, and there are times that perhaps it's not so clear. Absolutely.
I mean, you find all the time that the Chabad or the Rambam quotes the Zohar or something like that.
You don't find it all the time. You find it very rarely, but you do find it occasionally. Mishnah Brura, if you started with Mechaber. That's correct. And the fact is that on occasion the Mechaber does quote the Zohar, and certainly the Mishnah Brura, Magen Avraham, and the like quote other Kabbalistic sources. And there's no doubt that that reflects the position that we do learn Halacha L'maisa from that. So that's the question. Well, There are seemingly, but I don't necessarily think this is the ultimate truth. But seemingly, at least from a cursory glance, there seems to be two different approaches to this question and to the meaning of this type of statement. So the Mishnah Brura, let's say, to use your example, clearly accepts the approach that yes, we do derive halacha l'maisa, even halacha l'maisa, from agadic statements. And the only time that we wouldn't, perhaps, is in the event that they're contradicted by an explicit source in Nigla. And what I'm pointing out is that there also seems to be another approach. Now, the goal here in this year, we're not going to exhaust this topic. I'm sure many of you already know a lot about the topic, and there are many, many books on the topic, and many different approaches. You probably, those of you who took Intro to Bible, probably read the Akdama, the Maritz Chias, and the like, and he has his approach to how to understand these statements. Others have different approaches. I'm going to, in a moment, show you an approach, the approach of the Maral, which is also not the only approach. But this today's discussion is certainly not meant to be exhaustive. So again, we have these statements in the Gaonim that seem to minimize the value. One of the most important and interesting, I guess it's of questionable importance, sources on this topic is the famous Vikuach of the Ramban. Of course, you all know the story about the Vikuach of the Ramban, Pablo Cristiani, and the terms and the conditions of the debate, the result of the debate, what happened in the end, who won, the different versions and the like. We're not going to go into that. We're just going to simply see one statement, which is quite famous, and again, point out here that there are different theories as to how to understand the statement. So the Ramban was presented evidence from various midrashim by this apostate which indicate that Mashiach already came, thus supporting the Christian position, Rachmana Litzlan. And we'll start at the bottom corner of page 53. Chazar oso ha'ish v'amar, ki b'talmud mefurish Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi shal al-Yahu, masa yavo Mashiach, lu'ana oso, shal Mashiach atzmo, when's Mashiach going to come? So he responded, why don't you go ask Mashiach? V'heichan hu? V'pesach deroma ben hacholim. Halach shamu matzao v'shalo v'chulei imkein kvar ba v'hu b'roma. Says the apostate, we see from this medrash that Mashiach has already come. Skipping a little, kamti v'omer shimu amim kulam pirei pul sha'alani im kvar bar ha-Mashiach shedibru ba neviim famarti shaloba. So I've stated that Mashiach hasn't come. But then, v'hevi sefer agada sha'amar ki bo bayom shachar ki biyom shachar beis hamikdash bo bayom naolad. Aye, there are sources in Chazal that say that Mashiach is already born. V'amarti ani she'eni ma'amin b'zeh. So I responded, I don't believe that. Anachnu yesh lanu shlosha minim shel svarim. We, traditional Jews, have three sorts of svarim. Ha'echad, hu ha-biblia, meaning Tanakh, Bible. V'kulanum aminim bo emuna shleima. And about Tanakh, we certainly fully believe in this. V'asheni, hu nikra Talmud, v'hu perush l'mitzvos ha-Torah, ki b'Torah yesh taryag mitzvos, ve'in ba'achas shelo nisparsha b'Talmud, v'anachnu ma'aminim bo b'ferish ha-mitzvos. The next category is Talmud, and we fully accept this, and the Talmud is what explains the Taryag mitzvos. Od, yesh lanu sefer shlishi, hanikra medrash. There's a third genre of works, which is called medrash. Rotza lomar, sarmunish, sermons. Kimo, she'im ya'amod ha-hegmon, v'yasa sermon. The echad min hashomim hayatov beina vekasvo. So people get up and write, deliver sermons, and somebody, if they like the idea, they wrote it down. V'zeh sefer mi sheyamin bo tov, umi shelo yamin bo lo yazik. About this third category, if you believe it, good, and if not, nunu. And he implies that as opposed to the first two categories, which are authoritative, this is not authoritative, and therefore, even though you can quote me a medrash that tells me Mashiach has come, I don't deny the existence of the medrash, I simply respond, I don't believe in that medrash, I don't accept that medrash, that medrash isn't authoritative, and therefore you can't ask a question from me on this medrash. Now, the way this is traditionally understood is that this was a dechiyah. It does not reflect what the Ramban truly believed. And if you want to take a look at the Chevelle edition of the Vikuach HaRamban and Kisei HaRamban, you'll see he quotes sources to that effect. There are other examples, disputations. For example, the disputation that took place 40 years later at the Balei HaTosfos, where it's pretty clear and obvious that they were taking this approach. And this doesn't reflect what he truly believes. This is simply a dechiyah. Really, the Ramban believed every medrash is true. Of course, there might be disputes within a medrash, but medrash, in general, is authoritative. You have to understand the medrash improperly, but as a tactical point, and he realized that he was not going to be a victorious in the debate if he tried to explain the amkus of what the medrash really means. Rather, it was more effective to simply dismiss it. Now, if you do take this approach, it's interesting, it has halacha l'maisa applications to the question of Ziyaf HaTorah. I'm sure you're all familiar with the position of the Maharshal, which states that Ziyaf HaTorah is Yarg Val Yavor, and he derives it from, among other things, the story in the Yerushalmi, in which two Roman messengers were sent to study the entire Torah to look for any anti-Roman rulings, and they said, well, everything looks great except for a couple of rulings, for example, the Mishnah in Bava Kamma, which states that Shur Shel Yisrael Shenagach Shur Shel Akum is Pater, and Shur Shel Akum Shenagach Shur Shel Yisrael Chayev. And the Marshal says, why didn't they just skip it? And he says, because that's Ziyaf HaTorah and it's Yarg Val Yavor. So, if we take this approach in the Ramban, it would indicate, seemingly, that the Ramban disagrees with the Marshal. That, perhaps, is not too surprising. If Moshe has a tshuva, where he thinks, perhaps we don't paskin like this Marshal, the fact that there's so much self-censorship over the generations might support this view, though perhaps you could deny that raya because everybody understood that it was being censored. Anyhow, that's one approach. However, there are those who have argued that no, the Ramban effectively adopts the position of the Gaonim that seemingly indicate that Divrei Agada are not authoritative, in which case it's significant, because if the Ramban is accepting that position, that's very, very telling. On the other hand, others respond, well, if you look at all the other writings of the Ramban, they clearly indicate that he doesn't accept this position. Ramban even brings Rayos Halacha L'Maisa from Agadic statements, and he's very, very deferential in his commentary on the Torah and the like, even though in his commentary on the Torah he rejects Midrashim. Seemingly what he means to be doing is saying that they're not pshat, not that they're not MS. So, again, we're not going to fully get into this question. It is a debate, both among academics and among other Balei Machshava, what exactly was meant by the Ramban, by this statement. But again, here we have another possible source which may or may not shed light on our question. Yes?
I'll say that proves what about the 70 sages who translated the Torah into Greek, and Rabbi Zechariah ben Akilas, who he was reprimanded for not tweaking halacha so that they wouldn't die from the Romans.
Okay, it's a good question. Now is not the time to study that topic.
Sometimes
but
we
are.
Because that really stuck out of my head.
Uh-huh. So first of all, look at the Marshal before you evaluate it. I guess a couple of quick points, but I want to go back. The Targum Shivim, you have to figure out what they were doing. Was that Ziyaf HaTorah? Was that reflecting the true meaning, not as opposed to a literal translation? Meaning to say, when I go ahead and I translate something non-literally because the literal translation is misleading, that's not Ziyaf HaTorah. If, to take from this week's Parsha, Nasa Adam, so Nasa Adam means, according to Chazal, that he solicited the advice of the Malachi Asharis. So the question is, what does that mean? So if it's understood, right, like Rashi says, from here there's a tshuva, then the minim derive that there's shtei reshuyos, there's independent powers to the Malachim, God needs to rely on other sources, etc., etc. So that, of course, is an inappropriate derivation. That's Ziyaf HaTorah. And therefore, to go ahead and translate something non-literally so as to avoid that diuk is not necessarily Ziyaf HaTorah. Ziyaf HaTorah would be to say that there's no distinction between Jew and non-Jew when it comes to negichos, so as not to bring upon the anti-Semitism and the attacks of our enemies. So there's a very big difference. Targum Shivim is not Ziyaf HaTorah. Translating something non-literally because the literal interpretation will be misunderstood is not the same thing as Ziyaf HaTorah. When it comes to the discussion of Zechariah ben Avkulos and the like, so then you have to figure out, is saying that we're going to violate the halacha because this is not a halacha that's Yarg Val Yavor or the like is very different than Ziyaf HaTorah. Perhaps the halacha states that in certain circumstances it would be appropriate to take a balmum as a karban because the alternative is going to be the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the murder of millions of people. So, now you could say, but he also said Yomar Balimum in a craven, so that might be a makor, but it's not necessarily clearly a makor. So, take a look at the tshuva. And there's an interesting tshuva of Moshe. He talks about it, among other places, in the context of Chanufa. He thinks that the position of Rabbeinu Yonah, that it's aser to be machnif and it's Yarg Val Yavor, is a reflection of the Shita Samarshal by Ziyaf HaTorah. It's an interesting sugya, but not for now. In terms of the Rambam, we also see some, perhaps, mixed statements. The Rambam writes in Tshuva, this is a Tshuva to Rav Pinchas Hadayan on page 54, Ule'inyan Yotze Teva, the Pasuk Lemishbachosem Yatsumina Teva, about which we say Lemishbachosem the Lohem, Kolos and Advarim. In other words, somebody asked the Rambam Akasha from Mishver Agadita, so he responds, Kol Elu Hadvarim, Divri Agada Hain, Vein Makshin Bahagada. Vechi Divri Kabbalah Hain, Omili Disvara, Vechi Mekubalim Hadvarim Mesinai, Oshem Uchrachim Hadvarim Bidarche Hahigayon, Ella, Kol Echad Beechad Me'ayen Bepasuk, Kefima Shei Ra'evo Lovo. Are these interpretations a Kabbalah from Sinai? No. Rather, each one of the sages interprets the pasuk according to the way in which he sees fit. Vein bezeh lo divrei kabbalah velo isher velo mutter velo din min hadinim ulefikach ein makshin bahen. V'shama tomar li kemo sheyomru rabim v'chi dvarim shebetalmud atakori agada hein. There are those who distinguished between the agada and the Talmud and the agada in other sources. So the Rambam says, am I referring to this statement, which is in the Talmud Bavli, Sanhedrin Daf Kof Ches, Divrei Haggadah? Yes. Kol Elu Advarim Kiyotzei Bahen Haggadah Hein Me'aynin Me'inyanim Mitochnam Bein Shehayu Ksuvim B'Talmud Bein Shehayu Ksuvim B'Sifrei Drashos Bein Shehayu Ksuvim B'Sifrei Haggadah. In the Hakdama to the Moreh Nevuchim, he writes that he in fact had the intention of writing a commentary explaining the statements of Chazal which contradicted logic. However, he writes, and you could read this, we won't read it inside, it's the English version is on page 54, the Hebrew version is on page 55. He writes that I changed my mind, since there would be no purpose in writing such a work. Why? Because when most people see such passages, namely statements in Chazal that contradict logic, most people are content with the literal, illogical interpretation. And when educated people see such passages, either they interpret them literally and dismiss them, which he says, very important, is wrong, but it's not heretical. In other words, his lashon in the Ibn Tibbon translation is Ein bezeh heres liyisodos ha'emuna. So it's wrong but not heretical, or they realize that the statements of Chazal are conveying a sod, a secret, and whether they understand it or not, they don't accept it literally, but they continue to treat Chazal and their statements respectfully. So therefore, he says, there's not so much of a need to write a book on the statements of Chazal that seem to contradict logic, because nishta zeh gefarlach, either you take it literally, like the masses do, or worse comes to worse, the intellectual elite will dismiss it, which is incorrect, but still not kfira. Ma she'en kein, when it comes to the words of the prophets and Tanakh, so there the problematic statements, especially the anthropomorphic statements, prove to be a major problem. Because if you accept them literally, that's heretical, because that indicates that God has a body or the like, Rahmana Litzlan. And if you reject the statements on Tanakh, that's also heretical. And therefore, there's much more of a need to write a book concerning the statements in Tanakh which seem to contradict logic. And that's why he wrote the Moreh Nevuchim about that topic. And in fact, much of the Moreh Nevuchim, certainly the first one out of the three Svarim, is entirely, almost, devoted to this task, namely the psukim in Tanakh which seem to contradict logic and the true interpretation of what they meant. Frequently that means either redefining the words or explaining that they're not meant literally but rather metaphorically. Now, we have to go back to that statement in the Rambam and understand what he means. He says that if you reject Chazal in terms of the Divrei Agada, Ein bezeh heres liyisodei ha'emuna. So, seemingly, at first glance, this is a reflection of what we've seen before, the Gaonic tradition, that limited the authority of the agadic statements found within Chazal, in which case it would be a contradiction. The Rambam would be against approaches like the Maharal, which we'll see later, which do not take that approach, which take the approach that everything in Chazal is authoritative. Not necessarily should it be interpreted literally, but it is authoritative. Now, I'm not saying that there is no dispute between the Rambam and the Maharal. There probably is. But it's important to recognize, especially when considering the Rambam, and certainly the Ramban, the dispute is not as big as it seems at first. First of all, even as we'll see shortly when we, I guess probably next week, I don't want to spend the entire shiur next week on this, but we'll begin with this. Even the Maharal, which we'll use as the paradigm position of those who accept the authority of all agadic statements within Chazal, even the Maharal says that there is not necessarily a Mesorah for these interpretations. In other words, the Midrashic interpretations of the Pesukim are not necessarily a form of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai or the like. So he agrees with the Rambam about that. Rather, even the Maharal says that they emerge from Svara. So they agree about that point. Moreover, the Maharal agrees that when they contradict logic, they should not be interpreted literally. So he agrees with the Rambam about that. Moreover, the Maharal agrees with the Rambam that we should presume that they are hiding a sod, as the Rambam himself accepts. Moreover, the Maharal and the Rambam both agree that you cannot refute a statement based on a agadic statement, one cannot refute a position based on an agadic statement, because you can't really take agadic statements as definitive, because since they might be interpreted metaphorically, they could be interpreted in more than one way. And therefore, in terms of their basic approach to how we deal with agadita, both the Rambam and the Maharal agree. They both agree, even though generally speaking, and if you look at this scholarship on this, they're generally presented as two opposing positions. You have the Maharal's approach to agadita on the one hand, and way on the other hand you have the Rambam. I don't think that's accurate. Everybody agrees about those fundamental four principles, namely that there isn't a Mesorah, that if they contradict logic, they're hiding a sod, and that you can't refute a position based on a statement of agadita because they could be interpreted in multiple ways. So if they argue, they do argue about whether, perhaps they argue about whether rejecting agadita is kfira or just a mistake. We saw the Rambam says that it's not kfira. In b'zeh heres liyisodos amun. If someone takes the approach, I don't accept statements from agada, you can't ask me a kasha, I don't think they're right. So perhaps if you look at the Maharal, he does say in many places that that is a form of kfira, and the Rambam would say, okay, it's not kfira, it's just a big mistake. So I don't wish to minimize that dispute, and certainly they have different approaches in terms of how they explain statements of Chazal, but they both effectively accept it. You can't just varfa veka medrash, even according to the Rambam. And one thing we'll see, the Rambam, therefore, when he thinks something is true, and there's a statement in Chazal that contradicts it, so he's forced to sometimes say things like, well, that statement is a das yachid, but we don't accept that statement. You'll see that all over the place. One example is the Rambam quotes the position the in the Mishnah of Omer Kan Sipo Yagir Rachamecha Meshaskin Oso as incorrect. He thinks the purpose of the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein, we'll talk about this later when we do Tamiya Mitzvos, is in fact because we have mercy on the mother. Okay, I Chazal. So he says it's a machlokas. It's Mishnah, there's the Stam Mishnah, but he tries to show how in fact this is a machlokas Tanayim about whether we're Darish Tamei Dekra, not Darish Tamei Dekra, whether we look for Tamei Mitzvos or we don't look for Tamei Mitzvos and the like. So the Rambam does not, when you ask him a kasha from a medrash or the like, he'll say, okay, that's a das yachid, it's machlokas, and we don't accept that position. But, or he'll interpret it allegorically or the like, but he won't dismiss it. And in that sense, the views of even the Rambam and the Maharal, in terms of the study of Agadah, are really much closer together than they seem at first, than they seem from a cursory position. And I think that's very important, because once we understand that, then generally speaking, again, not that there's no machlokas at all, but when you look at the Rishonim and you look at the Achronim on this topic, I think that there is tremendous, tremendous respect for Midrashim and Mili De'Agadata and the like, the Gaonic statements notwithstanding. And the question is, how do you then deal with the statements of the Gaonim? So next week, Be'ezras Hashem, we'll see how the Maharal deals with those statements from Rav Chai Gaon and Rav Shvira Gaon. We'll see how others disagree with him. We will conclude at least a brief introduction to this topic, God willing, next week. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you very much.